we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're just a few weeks away from celebrating our 24th anniversary there at the church. And last Wednesday night at our midweek Bible study, our worship leader got up and she addressed the congregation and just began to lead us in praise and worship. And what many people in the congregation didn't know at that point in time is that earlier in that day, her brother-in-law had passed away up in the northeast part of the country. But even though she was going through a time of remorse and a time of mourning, she realized it was still time to praise the Lord. And I haven't mentioned this on the radio here yet, but also that same day, a week ago, the owner of this radio station crossed the threshold into eternity and had just a tremendous passion for getting the Word of God out across the airwaves and seeing the Word go across this part of the country and into other island nations and things like that, and through the internet reaches other parts of the world. And so I want to ask you to be praying for Ray Cassis's family, and that you would remember them in your prayers and pray for God's wisdom and his comfort during this time. We will continue to go ahead and proclaim the Word of God gladly, because that is, the Word of God is his legacy. And so if you would be praying for Ray's family, we would greatly appreciate that. So with that being said, we are going to get into the Word of God today. We would like to invite you to church this Sunday. This is our Sunday Thanksgiving dinner celebration. It is one of our largest events of the year. And we are also that day going to be giving away some Thanksgiving dinners for those who are in need, who might not be able to have a Thanksgiving dinner otherwise. It's a little different than we've done in years before. It's not that we're abandoning blessing our community. We're just changing the tactic, the strategy that we use. And so I've got a powerful word that I'm going to be sharing that day, and we would like for you to come and be a part of that. So if you know someone who needs a Thanksgiving dinner, tell them to come, and we will see what we can do about reaching and meeting that need. And so if you would remember that service in your prayer. Now, we have Sunday morning service, Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30, the dinner following, and we're giving away the basket, or we will be identifying the baskets at least that day and maybe delivering the food the next day. That way we don't buy more than what we need. But we will not be having Sunday night service, and we will not be having Wednesday night service, so that we can allow our people time to prepare for company and things of that nature. So with that being said, let's get into the Word of God today. We have been taking a little rabbit trail, if you would, from Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, where it says, "Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." And so this little rabbit trail that we have been pursuing has been about living a life of resolve. And what does that look like? And so today we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And also in Philippians chapter 3, just a few pages over to the right, it says in verse number 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." On our card, these two passages dealing with resolved read like this: "I am resolved to sentencing myself to know Christ, including his crucifixion, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings." Today, we need to be resolute in knowing Christ and knowing him better and knowing him in his fullness. A lot of times, people only want to know you in one aspect of their life, but they don't want to share other aspects with you. I have this this rule about how I respond to people, and that is this: I pretty much let them determine what level of relationship we have, because everybody's got a different bubble, everybody's got a different comfort zone. And when it comes to God, I don't have a comfort zone. I want him not only in my life, I don't want him just journeying through my life together with me like a chauffeur. I want him in my life, involved in my life. I want him to be my life. I want him to dwell inside of me, affect the way that I think. I want to know him in as much intimacy as I can. And the great news is God wants to be known that way. Some people approach their relationship with God as if it is a very difficult thing. I want you to know that it is quite an easy thing. God says, "If you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." It is very simple. God wants to be known. His great motive in existence is revealing himself, his plan, his purposes to his people. So when Paul went to Corinth, he said, "I was determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." In 2016, the death of Jesus Christ is still essential. It is that act by the Son of God that gives us hope and a future. It is that blood that was shed that wipes away our sins. It was a substitution of a penalty that we deserved. God, through his Son Jesus Christ, took it upon himself so that you and I could be reconciled to him. Do you know that God? It's an interesting thing that comes out of Peter's mouth when Jesus has been arrested and he's on trial, and they begin to accuse Peter of being one of his followers. And he said, "I don't know that man." I worked for a pastor in Texas, and he said this was a new area that Peter was witnessing in Jesus' reality. He had never seen him captivated. He had never seen him arrested. He had never seen him not act in such authority and such power. Although he was acting in authority and power, Peter's perception at that time was unaware of it. And finally, he called down curses on himself and he said, I don't know the man. I don't know that man. They were saying, surely you're one of his followers as well, for your speech betrays you. And he says, I don't know that man. And the pastor that I worked with said he probably was being very honest at that point in time, because he did not know the Jesus that he was seeing at that point in time. This was a whole new area. You see, when Peter had ever risen up and said something to Jesus, Jesus would set him in order straight away. He'd say, get behind me, Satan. Just a few verses after, he'd said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a few verses later, he's saying, not so, Lord. You're not going to do this. You're not going to wash my feet, in another passage. And he was all the time trying to set the parameters of God, and Jesus was always setting him straight. And here he was now being arrested and on trial. And it was a Jesus that Peter was unfamiliar with. When you go over into Philippians chapter 3, Paul makes a statement that is very significant. He says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, as he begins to get deeper into this passage of Scripture, you are going to see that he is on a mission to know Christ. And everything that was short of that goal was being cast aside. He said, what I have done is I have laid out my ledger sheet, and I have put assets and liabilities here, things that are beneficial to me and things that are hindering me. And he says, everything that I once had in the gain column, I have shifted that to the loss column so that I can know Jesus Christ more. In order for us to know him better, to know him more intimately, to know him in more arenas in our life, we have to be willing to set things aside so that we can make room for something that is even better. So it says, Indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Again, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So that is a mindset. He was shifting these things from being previously acknowledged as assets. Now he is considering them as garbage or dung, that they would be removed from his life, and they would be rendered without value. It wasn't because of any other reason than he wanted to know Christ better. In fact, as I was on my way here to the station this morning, I had this thought that was turning in my spirit, and that is this, that we often pray for breakthrough when God already wants us to have breakthrough. He wants you to have spiritual breakthrough. It is not God that is preventing you and I from having a breakthrough experience. It is that we need to have a greater resolve and a greater resolution in our own spirit that says, God, we are going to break through into new barriers. There is a plan. There is an anointing to break the yoke. There is a calling. Listen, what did it say? I press on, verse number 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's invitation is for you and I to come up higher, to come up higher. That's his heart. He wants to make that a reality. And so he says, I count all these things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. My Lord. Every time I get the opportunity to share the glorious realities of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to do that. You see, it is more than just a relationship with him as Savior. We need to recognize that it is a joyous, celebratory event for him to be our Lord. Now, in medieval times, where we hear of ladies and lords and other titles of nobility, it was a beneficiary title for them in that they owned the land. The lords, the nobles, they owned the land. The people would live on the land, and then the nobility, they would charge taxes, whatever they needed to live their lavish lifestyle, and people were left impoverished by that. It was the people who were supporting the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ, those roles are flipped. It is true that he owns the land. It is true that we are entitled to be stewards of whatever possessions that he entrusts us with, but he is not there for us to support him. He is there for him to support us. It is not that we are without purpose. Everybody has a task. You should have an innate desire to be accomplishing something, to do something. I have found that a lot of times the people who complain the most are people who are not doing much at all. They do little and complain much. When you are involved in doing, there's oftentimes not any time or energy left to focus on complaining. And so you do have a purpose that God created you to be. You weren't meant to, I paint this picture. You are not meant to just lie around at the side of a swimming pool 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a palm frond being waved at you just to make sure that you don't overheat while you're suffering there by the pool. You weren't called for that. You were called to do great exploits for God. You were called to lead people to Jesus. You were called to know him in greater revelation. And I pray that today God would stir a hunger and a thirst inside all of us, that we would reject complacency in our spiritual life, and God would give us a resolute heart, that we would press on to know God better than we've ever known him before. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I could spend some time there where people are, in 2016, are very much inclined to establish their own definition of righteousness instead of the biblical understanding of righteousness. And so I want to encourage you today, let's embrace the righteousness that is ours in faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what it says. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. I heard an interesting instruction or teaching about this passage, and I'll just pass it along to you. I'm not putting my full stamp of endorsement. It was just something to think about, because as Paul recounts the desires that he has to know God, he says, I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And if you begin to look at those things, you think that those things are backwards, because there was the suffering of Christ, there was the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then was the glorious manifestation of God. So if I was going to be writing this, I would be writing it from that progression. Paul comes at it from the opposite progression. And he says this, I want to know him, because that's how he came to know God in the first place. He was on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute believers and drag them off and to punish them, to imprison them, and compel them to deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. And on the way there, Jesus miraculously encountered him on the road to Damascus. Paul was left blinded for a season, was given instructions on what to do. He was called by God to be a chosen vessel, but he knew the glorious risen Lord first and foremost. And so when he writes to the Corinthians back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to what he says. He says, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I'm very thankful for people who are very articulate in their speech. It impresses me. It makes me want to become a better speaker. But Paul said that when he came to Corinth, a place of great sin, that he came and what he wanted them to experience was the glorious power and the ministry that the Holy Spirit brings in pointing people to Jesus Christ. And folks, I want to tell you that we still need that today. Paul was one of the most brilliant men on the planet, even recognized when he was on trial, where they said, "Your great learning has made you insane." He says, "I'm not mad. I'm not insane. I've got all my wits. In fact, my understanding is fully enlightened, and I wish that everybody here was like me, except for these chains that I have." He was a brilliant mind, but he knew God in the supernatural power that God possesses. And I am of the mindset that we still need the supernatural working of God in our lives. And so it doesn't just take place in a church service. If we can ever get that through our skulls, that God wants us to minister to people wherever they are, we would see miracles and healings taking place out in public as well. So Paul said, I am resolved to know him. I'm resolved to know him in the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power. Somebody said it's easier to birth a baby than it is to raise a corpse. And that's true. Babies are born every day. But raising the dead is an extremely difficult thing to do. It can only happen by the power of God. And so I'm very thankful. My role as a pastor, my calling, my personal calling, very much lines up with the mission statement we believe that we have at Merit Assembly of God about restoring value. We believe that God is in the business of building churches, not closing churches. And it's a lot of times easier to close a church and then start again someplace else than it is to say, "God, we still believe in resurrection power. We still believe that you are able to take dry bones and cause them to be vibrant armies once again." And so today I want to encourage you that if you know him in his glory, that you don't stop there, but you go back in time, if you will, to realize that Paul's next familiarity of Jesus Christ was seeing the resurrection power at Easter. They always put on these liberal theologians who want to undermine the supernatural acts of God, and they want to say, "Well, this miracle didn't happen, and that miracle didn't happen, and Jesus really didn't say this over here, and Jesus really didn't mean this title," you know. But this one guy, I will never forget, I watched him on two or three different networks, and they always interviewed the same guy. They were all doing different programs, and somehow, miraculously, they all found the same expert. But he said this: "The one thing that I cannot deny is that the only thing that makes legitimate sense as to why the disciples did what they did was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the resurrection didn't take place, then you and I," Paul would say, "we are most miserable. We have no hope. It is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that gives us hope, because not only was he raised from the dead, but one day the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. So be resolved to know him not only in his glory, but in his resurrection power, that he can cause not only dead bodies to come alive, but dead dreams to come alive, dead ministries to come alive. He can cause dead finances to come alive. He can cause dead organs to come alive. He is the resurrection power of God. Paul didn't stop there. He said, but I'm also resolved to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And when you hear that, all of a sudden you realize that there are a lot of people that are ready to jump off the train when it comes to suffering, because as human beings, the one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to suffer. We don't want pain. And Paul said, I'm resolved to know God, even if it is involved in suffering. And listen, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was thrown to wild beasts. He was stoned and left for dead. And those are just a few of the things that he was imprisoned. He ministered to people on the shipwreck. He ministered to the prison guards. He ministered to government officials. And one day they came and they chopped off his head, and he would not deny Jesus Christ, because Paul was determined whatever he was going through, he was going to know God in that experience. So I want to encourage you today to have a resolve inside of you that you said, I am not settling for this current level of understanding that I have for God. It is a great adventure. God is so wonderful and so complex and so beautiful and so holy that it's going to take all of eternity for us to come to an understanding of who God is. He's going to be taking us from glory to glory. Why not get in started on the adventure now and say, God, I just don't want to know you according to John 3:16. I want to know you in your resurrection power. I want to know you in times of suffering. I want to know you in times of victory. I want to know you as well as I can know you. Let's press through and have that breakthrough. It could happen in the remainder of 2016. Father, we just pray. We pray right now for Ray's family, God, that you would be with them, that you would give them strength, give them wisdom, watch over them, care for them as only you can do. We thank you for his legacy. We thank you for the word that he believed in. And I pray, God, that the word would continue to go forth, continue to make an impact in this county. And Lord, that as he stands to see the reward that he has, that there would be a long legacy of people who've come to faith because Ray wanted the word of God to go across the airwaves in Brevard County. God bless you. We love you. We will be back tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.